This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It's a genuine pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible. Thank you for tuning in today. Now, today on our telecast, we want to talk about help from above. You say, Brother Lambert, I need some help. And a lot of people feel like they need some help today in the world in which we live. We're going to study a psalm that I think will help you as we talk about help from on high, help from above. Stay tuned. Now, today we continue to offer the free Bible correspondence course, and I emphasize the course is free. And we want you to avail yourself of the opportunity to receive it. And we're going to pause long enough that you can learn a little bit more about the course. You can learn how to receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Today we're going to be looking at the third psalm, and we'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles, follow along with us as we study today. To give you some idea about this psalm, Absalom was the son of King David, and Absalom revolted against his father. He stole the hearts of the people, he had an army, and he was waging war against his father David. And to put it in one sense, he had David sort of on the run. And Absalom, however, came to a fateful end. He was riding along on his mule, and his hair caught in the boughs of a tree, and the mule kept on going. Here he was dangling by the hair of his head out of a tree. And Joab learned of that, and he came, and he put three darts into the heart of Absalom, and he died. And he died a very foolish man. He revolted against the man who loved him more than anything. And David had instructed his army as he was waging war against Absalom and his army to deal gently with him. Please deal gently with the young man. And then when news reached him about Absalom's death, he wept and he said, "Oh, Absalom, my son, would to God that I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." Oh, he was a broken-hearted dad. But the third psalm was written against the background of Absalom's revolt. And David's son turned against him. And how that must have hurt David. Could it have been that when Absalom was just a lad of a boy, that David had been too busy being the king, that he did not take enough time with his son Absalom? We might not ever know the answer to that question. But nonetheless, there was family trouble at David's house. You know, there are a lot of people who have family problems. I'm speaking to some people right now with some family problems. As a matter of fact, it would be rather difficult to find a family that at some point in their life and in their relationship had not said had some kind of a difficulty, not necessarily with themselves, but with someone else in their family or their extended family. You see, all families have problems. Sometimes it's a child that can cause problems. Some of you that are watching right now have children that have caused you problems. And so David had a problem child. Now listen as I read the third psalm against the background of what was going on in David's life. "How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many be there which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I wake, for the Lord sustained me. I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. God is our help from on high when we have problems come into our lives. Whether it be a family problem, whatever the problem might be, God is our help. And I want us to notice from this psalm some things about what God is to us. Number one, God is our shield. Notice what he says in verse number 3. Thou art a shield for me. Someone says, what does that mean, a shield? Well, there was a Roman shield. And it was large enough that the Roman soldier could hold it out in front of him. And with that shield, he could ward off the arrows of the enemy that were sent toward his way. And in David's day, there was a shield that you would use to help defend yourself. The Lord is that shield. Now, I began to think as I was studying this lesson to deliver today, the position of that shield in relation to God. And that shield, God is that shield, and the shield, so far as a soldier is concerned, is between the soldier and the enemy. While the Roman soldier would not hold it out to the side, he didn't have it and hold it to the back, but he held it out in front. He held the shield between he and the enemy because the enemy was shooting arrows at him and trying to kill him. And God is our shield between us and our enemy. And our enemy, of course, is Satan. And Satan shoots darts at us. He shoots arrows at us. And we have that shield, that is God, who protects us, who wards off, reflects the arrows that are flung our way. What a beautiful thought that God is our shield. You know, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Paul talked about Satan's darts, his arrows that he flings at us. Notice in verse number 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith, the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Sometimes those arrows, when they would be sent toward a person, would be on fire. They would be calculated to set the building on fire or to hurt with using fire, fiery darts. Well, God is our shield, and he stands between us and the enemy, and we have a shield of faith. That's faith in God and faith in his word. Faith is our conquering weapon. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And faith comes by God's word, Romans 10:17. You see, that you cannot eliminate the importance of the word of God in protecting yourself from the fiery darts of the wicked one. God is our shield. Think about all the kinds of arrows that the Satan flings at us. There is the arrow of envy. Envy is the undoing of lots and lots of people. There is the arrow of pride. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. There is jealousy. Some people are so jealous and envious. There is the arrow of loneliness. And loneliness can lead a person into despair and depression. There is the arrow of anger. Some people are just seem to be like a keg of dynamite, almost ready to go off at an instant. You see, anger, and there is unforgiveness. Satan is shooting that arrow at us. Do you have a forgiving heart or an unforgiving heart? Is there anyone you know against whom you hold a grudge? That is, you refuse to forgive. Jesus said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. It's forgive to be forgiven. So Satan is shooting that arrow at us, the arrow of an unforgiving heart. And there is also the arrow of self-pity. Some people have what they call a pity party. They just feel so sorry for themselves. And that will destroy you. It will keep you from living a fulfilled life. It will keep the joy out of your life. That's a joy killer for sure. Satan is after you with self-pity. And then there is the arrow of addiction. Think of the multiplied thousands upon thousands of people, especially young people, who have become addicted to alcohol. Someone says, well, Brother Lambert, I don't see anything wrong with drinking. Let me tell you what Solomon said about strong drink. Give strong drink to him that's ready to perish. If you want to perish mentally, if you want to perish financially, if you want to perish socially, if you want to perish eternally, well, just go ahead and drink. Give strong drink to him who's ready to perish. Years ago, there was an advertising slogan that said, talked about the finished product, the brewer's art. Well, the finished product, the brewer's art, is in the hospital. The finished product of the brewer's art is in the cemetery. The finished product of the brewer's art is in a broken home. The finished product of the brewer's art is found in child abuse and spousal abuse. The finished product of the brewer's art is found in the cemetery. The finished product of the brewer's art is found in an eternal hell. You see, Satan is flinging that arrow today and destroying so many lives with the people who are addicted to the use of alcohol. And there is the addiction of drugs today. That's like a scourge. It's like a plague that's spreading across the land. All kinds of drugs that people are using today. And it changes them. It changes their personality. It destroys them physically. It destroys their social qualities. And it destroys them spiritually. And that's what Satan is doing today. When you say, how are we going to protect ourselves? God is my shield. God is my shield. And there is another arrow that Satan flings our way to destroy us. And that's to take the Word of God away from us, to keep us away from the Bible. A nation without the Word of God is a nation without faith. A nation or a people without the Word of God is a nation without a foundation upon which to build. And a nation that has not the Word of God is a nation with no faith. But you see, Satan's arrows, which are pointed our way, can be deflected with the Word of God, because God is our shield. We study the Bible to help us overcome these kinds of things. David in the 119th Psalm says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, remember, God is our shield. God is our shield, and the shield is between you and the enemy. And right now, if you are God's child, God is between you and the enemy to protect you. To protect you. But God not only is our shield, God is our sustainer. Look in verses 4 and 5. I cried unto the Lord my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. David said, I cried with my voice. I cried with my voice. Well, what happens when you cry with your voice to God? He says, he heard me. out of his holy hill. He heard me from heaven. 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. I cried for help. And we need to ask for help. David said, I cried unto the Lord my voice, and he heard me. So David got the help he needed. He said, I laid down, went to sleep. I had a good night's rest. And when I woke up the next day, God was still there, for the Lord sustained me during the night. Have you ever gone to bed at night and you prayed, Lord, bless us through the night? Bless my family through this night. Keep us all safe, God. Be with us and that no harm would befall us. Help us, God, that we'll sleep well and be with us tomorrow and all of our that we do. And then the next day you get up and go about your business. What happened during the night? God sustained you. God kept you. I know of people who live alone. That is, maybe they had a spouse to die. Maybe they've never married. And for all practical purposes, they do live alone. They don't have to be lonely. But you need to understand that when you go to bed at night and you ask God to help you and to bless you and protect you, and then you get up the next morning, God sustains you during the night. But not only does God sustain us during the night, and incidentally, there's no need for you to stay up during the night walking the floor, wringing your hands, worrying about stuff. Because you see, God is going to be up anyway. Just turn all of that over to Him. Pray to God. Cast all of your cares on Him, for He cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. And let God deal with it. Let God handle it for you. Don't have so much faith and confidence in yourself that you neglect to let God handle the problems that you have. And He is all wise and all knowing and all powerful, and he is a God who can take care of business. He is our sustainer. And so we just need to ask Him for some help. David said, I cried, He heard. So I went to bed and had a good night's rest. Oh, if we could only realize that God is in control. God said, call upon me and I'll answer, Jeremiah 33:3. I like to think that is God's telephone number. And we just call, God will answer. And Jesus said, ask and you will receive, Matthew 7:7. Cast all of your care on Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Satan doesn't want you to rely upon God. Satan wants you to rely upon yourself. And he knows that when you start relying upon yourself and what you can do, that he has you within his grasp. And then God not only is our shield and our sustainer, but God is our strength. He is our strength. And notice what the David said in verses 7 and 8. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Thou hast smitten all thine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Back in verse 6, he said, I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You see, he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Are you afraid of anything? There was an army after David. An army. But he said, I'm not afraid. Let me tell you what David learned. David learned that one man plus God equals a majority. One man with God on his side is greater than a large army. Because God will fight for you. God will be with you. God will bless you. God is our strength. And so why should we ever fear? Fear paralyzes. It has a paralyzing effect. Now there is a fear that is commanded. fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Jesus said, however, on the other hand, there's a fear that's prohibited. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. That kind of fear is synonymous with a lack of faith. That's the reason in Revelation 21 and 8 we read, but the fearful, the unbelieving, abominable sources, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there is a fear that is commanded, that is to fear God, but there is a fear that is prohibited. Paul in 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says that God's not given us the spirit of fear. And yet a lot of people today are so afraid. They're filled with fear. Filled with fear. Someone said, Brother Lemon, I'm just afraid of what's going to happen in the future. I'm so afraid that we may have an enemy to attack us from the outside and attack us within this country. Well, truthfully, that's already happening in some measure. Someone says, I'm so afraid about what's going to happen with our economy. There may be an economic collapse. I'm so afraid that someone may shut down our power grid and it will bring this nation to a screeching halt. But let me tell you, while you may be fearing that, this nation survived one time without a power grid. Do you realize that? That there was a time we didn't have a power grid in this country. We become so accustomed to our luxurious way of living and our comfortable, convenient way of living that we have it in our minds that we could not survive if we didn't have it. The fact of the matter is we could. But this says don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If everything around you collapses, don't be afraid. Well, why is that? Because God is our shield, God is our sustainer, and God is our strength. He is our strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Paul put it like this in Psalms 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God is our source of strength. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it must have been a very painful thing. The Greek word for thorn suggests that it was a pointed stake. Something that hurt Paul, I don't know what it was. Some think it was eyesight. Some think he had recurring headaches. Some think he had epilepsy. I have no idea what was wrong with Paul. And he prayed for God to remove the thorn, but God did not remove it, but he gave him sustaining grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength was made perfect or manifested in making Paul a stronger person. You see, God is a source of our strength. And what we need to do when we become fearful is tap into the strength of God. Get to the source of power. Get to the source of strength. And not think I've got to do it all myself. I can remember a time in my life when I thought that I had to control my destiny. I remember sitting down one time with a friend of mine, Ray Walker. Ray Walker is the bass singer for the Jordan Air Quartet. And we were having lunch together. And Ray said, what are you going to do with your life? And I began to tell him what I was planning to do, what I was going to do. And then he looked at me and he said, I don't understand that kind of thinking. He said, I just let God direct what happened in my life. I just put it in God's hands, and I don't know whether I'll ever have another job until the telephone rings. I don't know whether he realized it or not, but he changed my way of thinking that day. And you see, I let God direct it today. I just put it in God's hands today. I don't worry about tomorrow. First of all, tomorrow is not here yet. It's not here. All we have is today. Just learn to live one day at a time and to live it to the fullest. God is my shield, my sustainer, and my strength. And finally, God is our source of victory, 7 and 8. He said, salvation belongs unto the Lord. And David's enemies were overcome. Even his son was killed. And that was a source of grief to David. But God will help us overcome the enemies that we have. I believe that with all of my heart, with all of our soul. All of us have our enemies. All of us have our darts. All of us have our fiery darts, our fiery arrows that are pointed at us. But God is the one who will help us to prevail. And prevail we shall. And God sent Jesus into this world in order that we might be able to overcome this evil one. In Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse number 6, I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, for when we were yet without strength, do you feel that way? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus came when we did not have strength to give us strength. I'd urge you to give your life to Him today. Believe on Him with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess that you believe Jesus to be the Son of God. Be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. The reason is, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Faith is just as important as being baptized. But as a believer in Jesus, we repent of our sins, confess that we believe, baptized into Christ. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.org. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.